So like I said, we've been in this moment series, and we took week one to talk about your moment is certain, right? Which is a cute way of saying you're going to die, right? So we just started there, got that out of the way. Last week, man, God really moved in the room as we talked about how to be certain in your moment, right? So we just talked about the scale, and some of you have been working through that, and six or seven people came forward, and we're working and talking through them. We're going to get to see just some awesome, in addition to Ava Quinn, who I mentioned, just some folks that came forward last week in response to the gospel and are going to be baptized this coming Sunday, and some of you that have been just thinking about this literally for years, and you've decided August 25th, you know what? It's time. I'm ready to make this commitment. So how that works at Relentless Church, we'll have our normal service, and then we'll dismiss you, but we hope you don't leave. We hope you pick up your kids and stick around. We'll go out here to the cafe, and we baptize out there as kind of a part of our service. So we hope you see it that way. We hope you make arrangements. If you can come to church and you got to go, that's fine. We won't judge you, but it's just nothing like seeing what we're going to see. We're so blessed to see what God's doing. And if this week is like past weeks at Relentless Church, He's only just begun. Often in our church, God starts to move in hearts in the week of. In fact, we've had several of you that have come to a baptism Sunday with no plan to be baptized. And then God ends up doing something, and we see people make that decision that day. So be praying for that, and that'll come next week. So we've been in this moment series. It's been a little bit heavy. Here is the last week of it. It's flown by to me. So I wanted to have a little fun because some of you just are struggling with all this funeral and death talk, and you just need to laugh a little. So we're going to start with that. We're going to play a game, and I want you to participate. I'm going to give you a quote that is death or life, eternity related, right? And it can come from anywhere in the world, media, plays, movie, songs, whatever. I'm going to give you a quote. You're going to tell me who said it. You're just going to shout it out boldly like people do. You with me? Wow. Like... Let's just call it a day. Let's just go home. If you're not, that was, every man dies, not every man truly lives. Who said that? Who? That was William Wallace of Braveheart. Yes, thank you. Now, everybody can participate, right? There's no prizes, right? That we used that in a video a couple weeks ago. That was an easy one. This is a really hard one. The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time. It's a great quote. It's a great quote. We're going to give that one to Mark Twain. You ever heard of him? All right, I didn't know. Let's go back to a movie. What we do in life echoes in eternity. Give me the character or the movie. There we go. You just need the movie, right? That's Maximus Decimus Meridius from Gladiator. Who said this? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Jesus, hey, you guys, you know Jesus. All right, we didn't have a picture of him that was accurate. We'll talk more about that in our next series, our multi-ethnic series. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life. See how you know that one so quickly, all right? Realize there's nothing left. That's the theologian Coolio that said that. If you get this one, you're officially a nerd. Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. We are a no-nerd church, or we're embarrassed because I led that. That's old Julius Caesar Shakespeare stuff right there. Come on, where are you at, English majors, English lit? All right, this one predates me, so if you're above 50, help us out. If you believe in forever, then life is just a one-night stand. No, you don't. That's a group way back in the day called the Righteous Brothers from a song, Rock and Roll Heaven. You heard of them? All right, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you could miss it. Hey, boldly correct. Boldly correct. How funny would that be if you were that bold and wrong? It would be awesome, but that is dead on. All right, how about this lyric? Done did a lot of dirt. I'll bury with me when I'm gone. When my story's told, how will they tell it? Will they say I was a giver or remember I was selfish? Will they say I was a sinner or pretend I was a saint? Will I go down as a winner? What's the picture they gonna paint? Who? That's J. Cole. Somebody get that? You get that? Fayetteville Zone, J. Cole, front row gets a, no prize, but that was good. How about this? How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My God. Hey, Dr. Seuss. Do we have a picture of him? I didn't know what he looked like. You might just miss your babies growing like mine did, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed. You're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think, so don't blink. Kenny Chesney. Were you guys in here when we did like pre-run service? You guys are nailing these in the second row. That's Kenny Chesney. This may be my favorite. The only rule in life is don't be boring and dress cute wherever you go. Life's too short to blend in. That's my life motto. That's Paris Hilton that said that, and that's just some deep. Now, this next one isn't part of the game. It's just my favorite. I would go ahead and tell you who it is. Well, it's a comedian that most people never heard of. His name's Stephen Wright, and this is just a quote that you can live life on. Here's how it goes. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving definitely isn't for you, right? Just love that quote so much. Pray with me. Father, I pray for this room. God, for every person in every age and every step in their faith, for those who would say, I have no faith, I don't believe there is a God, and if there is, he doesn't love me or know anything about me, to those who have been walking with you for decades, God, and everyone in between, God, I pray that they would not hear from me today, they would hear from you, that your word would be alive and active, and you would have your way in the room. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we've been talking about, now 3 weeks, something crazy. We've been talking about basing your life. I'm basing my entire existence on something that I can't prove, at least by most people's definition of prove. And is that smart to do? About a moment that's to come and what we're saying is going to happen at the moment, but I can't prove it's going to happen, and I can't bring anybody up to interview them and say, hey, tell me about the time you died, what you saw, and how it was with you and Jesus. Like, everybody that's gone on, we can't talk to, right? So why would you base your whole life? So I just want to start, right, with some reminders. So this is for the skeptic in the room. This is also for you guys that are walking with Jesus, because God's using you in people's lives. And eventually, if you're bold for Jesus, somebody's going to ask you, not in a preaching stage situation, but in a conversational way, they're going to ask you, how can you believe that stuff? Right? You need to have an answer. Your answer doesn't need to be my answer, but you need to have an answer. So I just want to start. I'm going to run through these quickly. But these are just the top seven, and these change for me. But currently, these are the top seven reasons that I trust this, that I'm preaching so boldly about the moment, and I know. I don't hope. We talked about last week. I know that Jesus is real. I'm going to be with him and meet him. And here's how I would say, for me, that I would know. One is creation, right? That builds my faith. There was another article this week. Or 2 weeks ago, a Yale professor coming out. He's not a Christian. A Yale Ivy League professor saying, our whole academic world wants to shun intelligent design, but honestly, scientifically, if you come at this from a scientific perspective, it is the most logical conclusion, right? And we don't need scientists to say what, but I'm just saying, as I've studied it, I don't want to take anybody's word for it, and I don't want you to take my word for it. As I've looked, opened my eyes and looked what God has created in nature and looked at babies being born in DNA, and the more we learn, the more it builds my faith. We are not random. We are not accidental. There was purpose in our creation, right? That builds my faith. That means there's somebody who knows me. Somebody put me together. Right? Somebody that made me think Stephen Wright skydiving jokes are funny. Like, he put that in me, right? So creation one. Two, and it always comes, these are in no particular order, it always comes back to Jesus with us. We're a gospel-centered church. Specifically, his death, burial, and resurrection. The more I study how he lived, what he said, how he died, what happened when he died, what happened to the world has never recovered from that moment in the first century. The statistical odds of a poor, no following, no clout, no title carpenter becoming the most central figure in all of human history, it can't happen unless he was more than a man, right? And as I study the event of the resurrection, which is the most important thing about Christianity, it is built on the event of Jesus. Did he raise him to dead or not? That's all that matters. If he did not, then we are wasting our time. It's a joke of a religion. If he did raise from the dead, he has authority over all things. He is God visiting us, revealing himself to us. The more, I'm not telling you to take my word for it, the more I've studied and prayed and sought the reality of who was Jesus really and what really happened, the more my faith, the more I've trusted this. Number three is scripture and sin. This is a whole message series, but just scripture and how this document written by flawed men 2,000 and more years ago has spoken into my life. When I have trusted it, I have not regretted it. When I have gone my own way, I have regretted it. Specifically, how a document who doesn't know me, who doesn't know my culture, who doesn't know America, who doesn't know my temptations, how a document could call me into certain things and out of certain things and somehow know what's best for me. Right, man just could not. You go back and read Shakespeare, which is, you know, 500, 400 years old, and it's already dated and, you know, kind of hard to, but Scripture, it just feels and seems and logically adds up to me that it's God revealing himself to his people. That's what I believe it to be. That's what it's shown itself to be. It builds my trust and faith. For the testimony of transformation. Transformation means change. God has changed me. There's no explanation. I'm not who I was, not because I've become a better person, because God is changing me day by day, not just my testimony, but so many of yours. That's why we love Baptism Sunday next week. It is the visual testimony of people coming to Christ. Each of them will have their own story. Each of them remarkable. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you don't even know you're one of them. But those testimonies, man, they build my faith. Next is a real relationship. I have a real relationship with Jesus. I talked to him. I talked to him back here this morning. I talked to him loud this morning. He doesn't mind that, right? He's with me. He knows me. He's for me. He knows everything I've ever done or thought. He knows the worst of me. He does not struggle to love me. I can sit down with him like I can sit down with you. He is working in me and on me. I feel like last week we talked about, I believe and know his love for me through God. It's a real relationship, not a religion. Six is the Spirit of God. That's how he loves us, through the Spirit in us. That's a real thing. Don't be scared of it. It's beautiful. It's powerful. He puts his Spirit in us. We'll see that a little bit. And the Spirit of God, and then the last, which we're going to look at this morning, is this groaning. Now, what in the world are we talking about? Not that kind of groaning. Not old man, grandpa on the couch, Sunday afternoon, nap groaning, right? But there's a groaning in our souls, right, that Scripture speaks to, of something's not right. Right, this isn't, there's got to be more. Like Vassie's, she's a teacher, by the way. She should have said that, because some of you are thinking, what school does she go to? Like she's actually a teacher, not a student, right? And all, like, man, there's a lot to life, and this week is an exciting week for some and a hard week, and next week whenever you start school or if you've already started school. But we're not talking about just that. We're talking about, man, this isn't home. There's more to it. And that's where I want to pick up in a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 5, I want to go into that groaning as we'll get back to the moment this week and close this all up. First verse of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, he's talking about going on and death and the moment. He's already in all that, and he says this, "For we know that if the tent that as our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So he's making an analogy here with the tent, saying like our body is a tent, our human body is a tent, and there's something more to that. So we're going to make the same analogy, but I'm going to use, we don't really deal with tents a lot. This may make more sense to some of you. Not that I'm smarter than Paul, I'm not. But ever salted peanuts? Any fans? All right, good. Thank you. You make you hungry. You want some of those? I'll start throwing these out. But this is a great analogy for simple minds like mine. Right, this is a peanut. We would call this a peanut, right? But it's not. Right, this is not a peanut. What this is, and I'm well trained in how to pop these open. Well, get that out, right? And what you have in there, what's that? That's a peanut, right? This was not a peanut. This was the shell of a peanut. We call the whole thing a peanut. We're wrong. We're lying to ourselves. So are the stores, right? It's a shell of a peanut. Inside is the actual peanut. I'm not going to eat that because it'll make my mouth, you know, I won't be able to preach good, right? So a peanut is the peanut inside the shell. That's the analogy, right? That is the moment. What God teaches over and over through Scripture is who you are is not your body. These bodies are a shell holding the... Now, we would look at me and you'll say, hey, there's David Jones. And I get it, just like you'd say, there's a peanut. You're not wrong. You're not lying. But reality, if we want to get technical, is that's not a peanut. That's the shell of a peanut. Inside the shell is the actual peanut. Inside of me is the actual David Jones. This is a shell holding who I am. The body has an expiration date. So does yours. Whoa, 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 Pritt. No, it does. I don't know it. You don't know it. I'm telling you. It's going to stop one day. Something's going to stop ticking. Something's going to stop working, right? Not to get all morbid. That's just the reality. It's coming. Who you are is not your body, right? And in our culture, oh my goodness, more than any other, we spend billions trying to keep our bodies from aging. Or you can't keep your body from aging. Trying to make it look like our bodies aren't aging, right? That's what we do. And the further, no offense to our California people, the further you go west, the worse it gets, right? The more they spend. It's crazy, right? I am not my body. The peanut is inside the shell. That's what we have, a soul that lives. Listen, your soul, the essence of who you are, right? We judge people by how they look. That's who they are. They're so beautiful, or they're so athletic, or they're so not, or they're so whatever. It's just a shell. It's the temporary holding of what we really are. That soul lives on forever. The peanut doesn't die. The shell we throw away, right? We throw it on the floor at the steakhouse or whatever. The peanut is who you're. That's maybe you're going to go home. Hey, what'd you learn at church today? I'm a peanut, Mom. That's what I got. That's all I heard. Okay. Verse 2, for in this tent, we what? You got to say it like it. You just groan as you say it. In this tent, we groan. All right, yeah. We groan. Why are we groaning? We're longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We're longing for something other than these bodies. If indeed by putting on, we may not be found naked. So what are we talking about? Naked, Paul, where are you going to this, right? Peanuts and naked, this is really dangerous. What he's saying is our soul's not going to be naked, right? Our soul's not, we're not going to be out floating like, you know, some of the movies and it's like ghosts and angels. That's not us. Our souls will get a new body. We will be clothed. We won't be naked. Our souls will get a new shell. Our souls, our spirits, who we, the essence of who we are, will get a new body. We long for that. It says longing, we groan, we're longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We say every week we're a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. This is the forever-focused. It's this longing. It's not like, hey, let's all, you know, be a cult, move to Montana, pool all of our money, build a big old compound, and eat canned food until Jesus comes back, right? That's weird, right? And nowhere in Scripture does it call us to go live weird like that, right? So it's not sitting around and just Jesus, you know, the moment's coming, so I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. No, it's a longing. It's a groaning. It's like, hey, something is coming better and what I was made for in this. He continues verse 4. For while we're still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, right? There's a, you know, we can't even put words on it. Some of you know what it's just like, man, this doesn't feel like my ultimate destination. Why? Because it's temporary housing. You know about temporary housing, right? We are so blessed. My wife's sister and her husband's a worship leader. He's helped us out before. They've lived in Indiana for forever. They took a job at a great big church here in Raleigh. He's coming in to be a worship leader. They have moved here. It's the first time in our adult lives we've, you know, Kelly and her sister have lived in the same town. So excited. But right now, they're living with us. And their three kids, right? Which makes six kids in our house if you do the math. They're three, my three, right? And you know what? It's going to be okay. You know why? It's temporary, right? They're not where they were in Indiana, and they're not where they're gonna be in their own house. Right now, they're with us, and it's temporary. It's for a short amount of time. How long? I don't know, right? But it's just for right now. That is what God says. Listen, it's not wrong to take care of your body. Exercise is godly. You're taking care of what God gave you is godly. He's for that, healthy, all that. We're with that, right? But just don't forget it's temporary housing. There's supposed to be a groaning because a burden, like this is not how it's gonna be. It's not where we were, but it's not where we're going. We groan. Man, I'm still in this body. It's getting older. It's decaying. No smart comments on that. Next verse. Not that we would be unclothed. We're not trying to be naked in our souls, but that we would be further clothed. Check this out. One of my favorite sentences in all of Scripture. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What is mortal? All right, let's make sure we understand. Mortality is stuff that dies. It doesn't live forever. What is mortal? our bodies, not the peanut, not the soul. It's not mortal. It's immortal. It's going to live forever. The mortal part of us, our bodies that we spend so much time with. Some of you were late to church because you kept going back to the mirror. You weren't looking at your soul. You weren't worried, man, is my soul ready for church? No, you were worried about the body, right? I understand. What is mortal is going to be swallowed. I love that imagery that God, it's going to be swallowed by what? Some of us would think that sentence should end in the word death. Because what? Our bodies will be swallowed by death. But God says no. What is mortal is going to be swallowed by life. Right? Some of you came into this scary series scared to death of death. If you could pick one thing for me not to talk about, it would be death. It is your worst fear and your worst nightmare. And last week, if you missed that, go back and check it out on the website. Jesus, the gospel, frees us from the slavery that we've been of being scared to die. And here's why. Because what we call death is actually the death of death. What we call death, which we think is the end, and oh no, they're gone. They're not gone. Their shell's gone. Their soul's going to live forever. Because when you die in Christ, what is mortal gets swallowed up by life. Right? Death doesn't even make sense according to God. He's like, what are you guys talking about down there? What are you talking about? Death is the end. Like what? Wait, if you believe that I sent Jesus, if you believe he died on a cross, if you believe he raised from the dead, then you can't be talking about death as the end, because death is when what is mortal, the shell, gets swallowed by life, what is immortal. See, there's a promise of our new bodies that won't die. They don't expire. They don't get sick. They don't stop. I don't know what they look like. I don't have any pictures. I don't have any slides. I just know they're different and they're forever. And that's what happens in death. I believe some of you are going to get to your death. You're going to get to your moment. Hopefully not soon. We're not praying that. But when it comes, you're going to get there and you're going to be where you're going to be. And you're going to say, I can't believe I worried about this. Man, I can't believe I spent all that energy and emotion worrying about this. This is way more than I've been swallowed by life. This is what I was groaning for. I kept trying to find my place on this earth. I didn't feel like I belong. This is where I belong. I can't believe I spent my whole life trying not to get here. Some of you are going to say, I would have eaten a few more fries. Some of you, maybe not. That wasn't from God. That was from me. Check this out. Next verse, he continues. He who has prepared us for this very thing, what very thing? The mortal being swallowed by life. You got to connect the verses, right? We put in the numbers to help us as humans figure out where stuff is. That's not in there. This is a letter that the Holy Spirit used Paul to write. And there's no verse 4 and verse 5 in the original scripture. He's talking about what being mortal swallowed by life. He, God, prepared us. He who prepared us for this very thing, talking about death, is God. And there's some disagreement on the verb here. It could be translated as not just has prepared, but is preparing. Like today, August 18th, 2019, God's preparing your body for death. Whoa. I don't know if I like that. Yeah, it's beautiful. He has prepared us for this very moment. He has prepared you for your moment. He is preparing you for the moment where you will meet with him. You will shed the shell of a body. You will get your new eternal. You will be swallowed by life. He has prepared you for this very thing. God's not scared of it. He's been working on it. And he's given us the Spirit, it says, as a guarantee. Money back, guarantee, right? Other parts of scripture talk about the Spirit as a deposit. You understand a deposit, right? I owe you money. You catch me at the door after church. Pastor, where's my money? You know what? Let me give you some of it. I'm good for it. I don't have all of it. I'm not going to give it all to you now, but I'm going to give you a part of it so you know I'm good for the rest of it. Now, God's not short on money. Don't hear that part of the analogy. What he's saying is, I know faith is a big deal. I know this world is messed up. I know you're going to be hurting and groaning and burdened and alone, and life is going to be a struggle. But in that, I'm going to give you something as a deposit. I'm going to put the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. We did a whole series on the Spirit of Christ, because if you don't understand the Spirit living in you, you got no chance at this life in Jesus, right? It's the missing piece that wasn't supposed to be a secret. So the Spirit is a deposit. It's a guarantee of what is to come. So as you get to know the Spirit of Jesus in you now, There's different people, and we don't even need to argue about it. Some people believe the Spirit enters you. The Spirit of God comes into you when you're baptized, as we'll see next week, baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people in Scripture, the Spirit came into them before baptism, when they put their faith in Jesus. We don't need to argue about when it happens. We just know in the process of believing in God, trusting God, putting your faith in Him, and being baptized into Him, the Spirit of Jesus comes to live in you. And that is the guarantee of what is to come. Now, today's message is about so what, right? So, okay, the moment's coming. So what does that do to today? Verse 6, next verse. So we are always... So, that means according to what I just said, so we are always of good courage. I'm going to get swallowed by life. God's prepared me for that. He gave me the Spirit as a guarantee. I'm going to leave this tent. So what? So I'm going to live with courage. Because we know while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. Some of you have been talking about walking by faith, not by sight. You didn't know that was around some death verses, did you? Right? That's what we're talking about. And just so you know, short commercial, when we walk by faith, that doesn't mean me walking all by myself, me and Jesus, forget all y'all, walking by faith. It means we walk together. That's what His church is. It's a community. We walk together through the highs and through the lows. Like, we'll talk about that a ton in this series. Next week, I'm telling you, it's called Here's in Heaven. We'll explain that title. It's a series about the multi-ethnic movement and why we're a part of it and why we want you to be a part of it. And it's enormous for us as a church. We got to walk through some things together. They're going to be hard, right? It's going to be worth it. And in that, for the first time in the history of our church, we're doing small groups. And the study coincides exactly with what we're going to be preaching from the stage. So our messages from the stage are going to match up with what you're going to be talking about in groups. Those, finally, we sent the email out. If you're on our email list, those went live. We had a few technical difficulties. Bear with us. I think we're there now, but... We have 6 groups because we want you to find one. All right, I'm going to show you a map. The map isn't perfect because we left one off, and hopefully they're not here because it'll hurt their feelings. We accidentally left one off, but let me just walk you through the 6 groups. There's 2 Sunday groups, both in Apex. One of the Apex groups is 4 to 6, and it's not on the map. It will be next week. But there's an Apex Sunday group and another Apex Sunday group. Then there's a Monday night group in North Raleigh. Then there's a Monday night group in the Middle Creek area. There's a Tuesday night group in Fuquay, Holly Springs, and a Friday night group in Garner, right? Some of those start next week. Some of those start the next week. It's all on the website. We need you to sign up because we're trying not to get 25 people in one group like we've had in the past. We're trying to cap them and spread people out. But whatever's closest to you, I wish we could have a group within 5 minutes of all of you. It's impossible right now. Some of you have to drive. But I'm telling you, as a church, we've never gone where we're about to go. And I'm inviting you to be a part of it. And I'm so proud of you. We have more people. Most, I ain't mad, but... Sometimes we're a church that signs up in the last 48 hours. Everybody signs up. Oh, people are going to come to groups. It didn't look so good, right? We've got a ton of people signed up already early in this. This doesn't start this Sunday. The first groups will start next Sunday, then next week. Then the Friday night group doesn't start till September. So all that information is there. Big series next week. Bring somebody with you. Now, we got to finish out the moment and finish it out right. Because what do we do? All right, my moment is certain. Week 1, gotcha. How do I not certain in my moment? We talked about that last week. But what does that mean for you? Like Vassie's talking about going back. What does that mean when you're walking into school as a teacher or a student? What does that mean when you're walking to wherever you walk into tomorrow? What does that mean for your marriage? How does the moment affect all these moments between today and whenever your moment comes? What does it actually mean in life? Because you could take this the wrong way. Some people have heard people talk about the moment and life is short, and they've taken it the other direction, like, you know what? YOLO, right? I'm doing whatever I want. I only got one shot of this, right? YOLO is something, I'll pick on my wife because she's back there with the kids, and she'll never know because you guys know not to tell her stuff I say when she's not in here, right? She's funny because she always uses that line. She does nasty stuff. What I mean is she'll eat stuff for breakfast that should not be eaten for breakfast. We'll go maybe out to eat, and we have a leftover, you know, cheeseburger. I walk in, she's eating a leftover cheeseburger for breakfast. That's wrong. That's wrong. You don't eat. What's wrong with you? And I'll say to her, what are you doing? Why would you eat that at 8 a.m.? And she looks at me and says, YOLO. She says it all the time, right? And if you take where we've been, and it's easy actually to take, like, you know what? This is reality. I don't know about this Jesus stuff, but yeah, my life is really short and I'm not going to be here long. And you can twist that and be like, you know what? I'm going to go do some very unhealthy things because, you know what? What does it really matter? That's not where Scripture points us. In fact, it's very clear. There's a bunch of people that were around Jesus that wrote about, and they would refer to this thing called the day. They just called it the day, or the day of the Lord. And they were speaking of the moment where either you leave this earth, or specifically the day of the Lord is the day when Jesus comes back and ends this whole thing. And one of Jesus' right-hand guys, his name was Peter. We've talked about him. We love him at Relentless because he was such a screw-up, and we identify with him so much. But Peter wrote this letter, and he's talking about, we're going to jump into this place, and he asked the question that I'm asking, like, what do we do? So, well, 2 Peter chapter 3, he says this, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." Right? Last I checked, when a thief comes, they don't email you the day before saying, "Hey, I'm going to be there about 2 a.m., make sure the door's unlocked." Right? The idea is surprise. That's the analogy God uses for when Jesus comes back. Everybody's trying to figure out when it's going to be. God tells us, I'm going to do it in a time where you're not going to know it's coming. It's going to be a surprise, right? It's going to come like that. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be?" The moment's coming, so whether it's your moment or this is not talking about your moment, this is talking about when it's all said and done. You know this is coming, Peter said. Right before this, he says, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. Like in God's economy, there is no time. There is like, it's coming quickly from his perspective. When it comes, everything's going to be laid bare. So now if you believe that, what kind of lives should we live? Next verse, next sentence. You ought to live holy and godly lives, right? You're not out doing whatever. Man, no, it's coming. It's real. I'm going to live in response to my holy, godly God. As you look forward, not fear, as you look forward to the day of God and speed, it's coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. I don't know how it works. I don't know how our memories work in our new bodies. I don't know exactly. I don't know if we'll be able to point back to August 18th and say, I remember when we talked about, I don't know when we get there and then it's not us all floating around. It's a real city with real bodies, a new place. The only difference is there is no sin, there is no death, and we don't have to have faith in Jesus because he's right there. Jesus, how's it going today? We're gonna talk to him like that. Right? It's going to be real and it's going to be forever. So much of Relentless Church is built on that day is coming and we don't know when. Let's not miss it. Let's not live this week as if there's not an end in sight because there is. Let's not be surprised. Because if you believe that the moment is coming, whether it's the day of the Lord, your moment. If you really believe that, it is going to completely change how you live everyday life. This series is not, man, let me make sure I'm going to heaven, get all that straight. Okay, now I feel better about that. Now I can go back to life. No, it is your moment. If you believe this is coming, it'll affect all the moments between here and now. That's why we talk about forever focus. Let me say it this way. What if I promised you, and I'm not doing this, but what if I promised you on September 1st, 2 weeks from today, September 1st, you'll be as healthy as you've ever been. You'll be as rich as you've ever been. And your relationships and your joy will be at a level that the best level they've ever been at. What if I guaranteed that's coming on September 1st? Physically, financially, spiritually, relationally, everything will be better than it's ever been in your life. Guess what? If you get a cold this week, you're going to react to that cold. Colds are annoying, right? I'm a little sick. But if you know September 1st, everything changes, it doesn't mean the cold goes away. It doesn't mean the cold's not annoying. It does mean that you're going to receive the cold differently because of that's what's talking about, this looking forward, this hope, this speed it's coming, this anticipation, this groaning, this longing. And God did this. We talked about God as creator for a second. He kind of put a cheat code. He kind of, you know, software code writers, they can put like secret trap doors in their program. God kind of did that with us. It says, I don't have the scripture on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no brain is capable of imagining how good what God has prepared for those who love him. So see what he did? He made it so we couldn't understand how good it's going to be. Right, I talked about the family living with us. The youngest is my boy Milo. He's 3 years old. The other a couple weeks ago, we were playing Monopoly. Some of the, you know, me and my father-in-law and others, and we're playing Monopoly. And little three-year-old Milo comes up and says, "Hey, what are you playing?" We're playing Monopoly, and he says, "What's that?" I didn't even try. How do you explain buying property and renting and hotels and chance collecting? Don't even, like, you're never going to understand as a three-year-old what Monopoly is. So I didn't even. That's kind of what God did with us. We are not capable. Whoever the smartest in the room is, it ain't me. Whoever you are, you don't have the mental ability because God didn't give it to you to understand how good it's going to be. Why would he do that to us? Because he's a father. He's a father who loves to give good gifts. There's a family that I was talking to not too long ago that was blessed to go on a cruise. And I was asking them about how was that. And their comment was this. It was really good. The food wasn't as good as we thought it would be. I guess based on what they'd heard or based on what they paid, I don't know. But it was good. It was good. Don't hear it. It was good. But the food wasn't quite what we thought it would be. Right? That's devastating to those of us who plan and pay for vacations. And it's not quite to the bar that we had in our minds. That's devastating. Here's what God did. He made us so that there would not be, cannot be one person who can get to heaven and say, no, don't get me wrong, it's good. But it's not quite as good as I thought it would be, right? There is no bar. He made us. We're smart. We're technological. We're advancing as humanity. We've come a long way, right? But he still put a cheat code. He put a trap door. Nobody can dream what heaven is and get there and then say, you know, it's not quite up to what, you can't. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine how good what God has prepared for those who love him. Y'all, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. We're not going to be going wherever we're going. We're going to be looking at Jesus. We're going to be worshiping him. We're not going to have bodies that, like, it's real. You're going to be there if you're in Jesus. If you dwell on that, look forward to that, forever focused, it's going to help you live the life that God wants you to live. Let me close with a section, probably my favorite section of scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. It comes right before 2 Corinthians 5. Imagine that we've already been in. But the context here is what we sang earlier. Paul has said, hey, you're going to raise from the dead just like Jesus did. As he was raised, you are raised. That's what he's been talking about. And then he kind of concludes that with this three verses. We've seen them before. Verse 16, therefore, what do you mean therefore? Well, because we're going to leave this world. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Right? This world will beat you down. It is easy to despair. Right? Just go home and just watch the news today. Right? All the good and this worship and the truth that God's given you, like all that can just fall apart in 5 minutes in an argument in the vehicle. You ever gotten fights with your spouse on leaving church? Yeah, right? It can all, like, the world is like, it will beat you down. The whole game of the enemy is to try to get you to lose heart. That's why we have to keep coming back to this. We got to hear it together. Some of you have heard me preach this same text before. Did you forget? No. We got to keep coming back. Why? Because it helps us not lose heart. Sunday is a long time between Sundays. It's got to be more than Sunday morning. We're dwelling on the truth. We don't lose heart. Here's the reality. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, the shell, it's got an expiration date. Deal with it. You and your body, you, not you, but your body will expire. Paul said that. Outwardly, you're wasting away. You're closer to death than you've ever been. Sorry to tell you the truth. Yet, he says, inwardly, We're being renewed day by day. Every single day, your soul is being renewed. Hey, this ain't the end. Hey, my mercy's good for you again today. Hey, I'm here. Hey, I love you. Hey, you're coming home. Hey, I prepared something for you. I didn't give you a brain big enough to imagine how good it is. Do your best dream. It ain't gonna be good enough. Hey, day by day, every day, just keep renewing, keep renewing, keep renewing, keep renewing. Your body, bad news, right? It ain't gonna make it. But your soul, the essence of who you really are, oh, I'm renewing that every single day. Therefore, I don't lose heart. Some of you got to get into that renewal day by day. Start your day. Put this verse on your phone or on your mirror, whatever you got to do. He continues, and he's going to offend some of us here because he says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our light and momentary troubles. Well, that's offensive because my troubles aren't light. Kelly Quinn's troubles weren't light. Some of what you are walking through in our church right now, that's not light. What are you talking about, Paul? Light troubles, right? Well, you need to know this came from a man who was beaten, not like beaten bar fight beat, but beaten to an inch of his life more than once. He was imprisoned because he talked about Jesus. He lost everything in the religious Jewish system that he walked away from to stand for Jesus. He was imprisoned and eventually killed for his faith. Shipwrecked, all kinds of stuff he went through. And he's writing our light and momentary troubles. Why? It's the September 1st example. It's not that your troubles are actually light. It's they're light in comparison to how good what's coming and how close we are to it. It's that word we use in English is perspective. If you believe that September 1st, everything was unbelievably good about your life, you would walk confidently through whatever these next 2 weeks bring. And I'm telling you, that analogy works. How long we're going to be here, it's going to be like 2 weeks. It's going to feel like that when we get to heaven, how fast this all goes. I used to hear people say, I'm going to live every day like it's my last. That's crazy, right? If I lived every day like it's my last, man, what are you talking about? We'll go back to the Eden stuff again. Like, you're not going to pay your bills. You're not going to pay your property tax. You're not going to be a responsible human being if you live every day like it's your last. But what I'm learning and trying to do, this is a statement I started saying when I worked at the funeral home, being around death all the time. I'm going to try to live every day like it could be my last. Because eventually I'll be right. And it's not that I'm going to live every day like it is my last, because that can lead to some irresponsibility. But I'm going to live every day like it could be. The reality of, hey, I'm guaranteed nothing. And eventually, my time will come, and I'm not going to be surprised by it. The last verse of this series is verse 18. It says, so we fix our eyes. What do we do? Now that we know the moment is real, what do? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Why? Because what we see is temporary, but what we don't see is eternal. What we see, what we get caught up in, what we get worried about, what we get fired up, what we see is temporary stuff. It will not last. How do you know that? On faith? Yeah, but it's not blind faith. It's built on creation and Jesus and Scripture and all those things. And we live this life on faith that what we see is temporary, but what we don't see is going to be forever, and it's coming. This is how we don't waste our lives. Focusing on the moment and what that moment does to all these moments. That's how we don't waste our lives, because you could center your life on you. You could center your life on fun. You could center your life on sex. You could center your life on money. You could center your life on success, an image, or a social cause. You could center your life on 100 different things. But how much sense is that going to make when your moment comes? If you center your life about one of those things that is temporary and forever is really long, how? If we live lives with Jesus at the center, we will live lives with less regret. We will see him and we will not be ashamed that we wasted our life on temporary things. Be full of joy that, hey, it was worth it. Man, when everybody was saying, you're blowing it, you're wasting it, man, I made hard decisions. Listen, if you believe the moment is real, you'll make better decisions this week. So what do? We fix our eyes, not on what we can see, because it's temporary. So are these bodies, but why don't we on what we cannot see, because that's eternal. Would you stand with me? Father, as we close this series out in worship, God, thank you for the truth of not having regret from putting Jesus at the center. God, I know there's been seasons of my life where I have gone all in on things that are so meaningless. They're so temporary. They're just not that important, but I live like they're everything. God, thank you that in our first day in heaven, not one of us will check our feed. Thank you that in our first day in heaven, not one of us will check our bank account. God, thank you that not one of us, the first day in heaven, will check the news. God, there's so much to get caught up in. I pray that we would not lose heart. And the way we don't lose heart is we fix our eyes on you. We make you the center because you're here now, even though we can't see you. And you're going to be here in forever. And you're legit and you're real. And you came and died and rose so we could raise again. Thank you that we can believe that. And it changes everything about the everyday of life. Thank you that our momentary troubles are achieving something for us that's going to far outweigh everything else. God, help us not just sing this as a church. Help us mean it. We sing in Jesus' name. Amen.